Psalm 142, as you turn to Psalm 142, let me remind you that on July the 29th, Friday the July to 29th, we're having a kids venture reach out, and that is inviting all kids to come and to play games, to have listen to a Bible story, and to enjoy a cookout. And if you are willing, on the back, the little back table as you walk out to the right, there is a sheet there that if you would be willing to provide some of the things that are on that list, hot dogs, chips, or some things listed on there, and if you'd be willing to at least write your name on there and make sure that Dylan will have that, you know, by the 29th. You can drop it off on the 29th. You can give it to him on Wednesday, whenever. Or if you just want to give money towards it. Anything you can do would be a help and a blessing to offset the cost of that night. And then on the back of that table is some more of these flyers as well. Again, if you know kids, take a flyer home, give it to their parents, invite them to come. It's for ages 3 to 12, Friday, July the 29th, from 5 to 7. All right, so please keep that in mind, and then also pray for it, if you would. Pray for Dylan and those that will be working in it, and that the hearts of the kids would be touched by the truth of God's Word, and it would give us an access into their homes with their parents as well. Psalm 142, looking at verses 1 through 7 tonight. Psalm 142, verse 1 through 7. David pens these words while he was held up in a cave. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us, and thank you for the lessons we'll learn from this psalm. Father, I ask that you would guide this time. Father, that you would work in our hearts exactly according to your will. We thank you that you promised your word would never return void. It will always accomplish your will. And Father, that's what we want tonight. We want the word of God to accomplish your will in our hearts and our life, encouraging us, challenging us, directing us. Whatever the will is that you have for us tonight, Father, we want to be in the center of that will. Father, we want to be disciples of Christ, servants of the Lord, allowing you to continue to transform us more into the image of Christ. Lord, helping us to walk in the ways of the Lord, and Father, to have hearts that are tender to the truth of your word. Father, we ask that you would bless in a very great way tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about five reasons why we can continue and should continue to pour our hearts out to the Lord. Again, we know the life of David. We know what his life was like before he became king and during the time of being a king. And many throughout the scriptures, when you read, find themselves crying out to the Lord in time of trouble. And I want to remind us tonight five reasons why we need to continue pouring out our heart to the Lord. Because if you've ever been in that place where you were overwhelmed by things that were going on in your life, by trials, things that were out of your control, you know what it feels like to just be helpless and seemingly no hope, and like he even says, no man to help you, yet turning to God, we know that he's always there. And we need to always remind ourselves that, you know what, I can pour my heart out to the Lord just like Hannah did. Hannah was overwhelmed not having children. She poured her heart out to the Lord, The Lord heard her, the Lord blessed her, and God blessed David as well. It's a wonderful thing that God uses, I'll say, a cave in our life at different times to help us to stay sensitive to his voice and sensitive to his presence in our life. And that's exactly what has happened in David's life here. Now, the Bible describes two caves that David found himself in. One was the cave of Adullam. The other one was the cave of En-Gedi. I believe that's the name of the cave, En-Gedi. And he was on the run from Saul on one. The other one, he was on the run because there was a Philistine king trying to kill him as well. It doesn't specify anywhere what cave this psalm was written from or about, but the fact a cave signifies a place where you find yourself kind of trapped, not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go, between a rock and a hard place. And all we are able to do is to look up and to cry out to the very one who knows us, the very one who hears us, and the very one who cares about us, and know that God's timing is always perfect in our life, and God will always use every circumstance to change us more into the image of Christ. First thing I want us to think about tonight as we look at verses 1 through 2 is that God does hear us. Never get to a place where you stop knowing that God hears you. All right? Again, there are many that don't believe in God, many that will not pray because they do not believe that God hears them. Notice what he says in verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Why tell someone who does not listen what your problem is or what your complaint is unless you believe they actually hear you and will do something? You know what it's like to talk to somebody that looks like they're listening, but they're really not. They're staring at you, but you can tell they're somewhere else. And when you ask them, do you know what I said? No, what? Or they try to repeat something back that was nowhere in the ballpark of what you were talking about. Sometimes people are there, but they're not really listening. David cries out to the Lord because he knows that God hears him, and we know that God hears us as well. When you look and you think about the fact that God hears, when is there a time that God does not want to hear from you? Peter thought the Lord didn't want to hear from him anymore. That's why he went fishing. After the Lord had showed himself alive to Peter, the Lord appeared in an upper room with the disciples because they were hiding in fear. And the Lord shows himself to Peter, but yet Peter still thinks God doesn't want to talk to him. And yet the Lord comes directly to him. It's a wonderful, I love the fact that, you know what? Yes, I would love to have seen and maybe even experienced what Enoch experienced, walking with God, and then God just takes him one day, and he's with the Lord. There's things I would like to experience that I read in the Bible, but I'm so glad that I have a God in heaven that hears me. He has ears to hear. Do you ever get frustrated in life? Yes, we all get frustrated in life. But we have a God in heaven who wants to hear our complaints. David says, I poured out, verse 2, I poured out my complaint before him. Not blaming God for the cave he's hiding in, but pouring out his complaint. Lord, I need help. Lord, I don't understand why this is going on. I don't know what to do with this. I don't even know how to turn this around for good, but I know that you do. Even when we pour out our heart to friends at times, they may or may not actually understand what we mean or what we're talking about. But God always understands. You might find someone that understands what you're going through or what's going on, but God always understands. He always understands and he always listens with compassion. And you look at verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Another reason why we can continue to pour out our heart to the Lord is because not only does he know us, but he cares. He cares for us. Listen, sometimes we do think that only people know what we feel like, know what we're going through. And sometimes we look for someone who will have sympathy with us. Understand, God wants us to always come to him because he knows us. He knows what will make us feel better. Sometimes I think a pecan pie will make me feel better. Sometimes I think a nice juicy steak will make me feel better. There's things we think, you know what, I just need that and I'll feel better. Maybe it's, you know, for some sitting down reading a book. There's something that you enjoy doing that you think it might help you, but you realize, you know what, this is not helping. I need something that's going to go deeper in my life and deeper in my soul. And the Lord knows. Notice what he says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. You know, the Bible records the life of Jonah, and Jonah tried fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever tried that, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, we could kind of laugh at that and say, well, there's no way you can flee from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter if you try hiding under a rock, he sees you. It doesn't matter if you try climbing Mount Everest, he sees you. But in our mind, and in Jonah's mind, he thought, you know what, I'm going to flee from the presence of God by fleeing from the will of God. God had a will for Jonah, and that was to go to a certain city and accomplish God's will by preaching God's word against that city, but Jonah didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do the will of God, so he decides he's going to flee from the presence of God. And when the storm arises, Jonah's on the boat, Jonah's down in a cabin, the rest of the people on the boat, they're up there, they're trying, they're scared to death, they're trying to get out of the storm, and then they all cast lots to find out whose fault is it that this storm is upon us. They go down, they get Jonah, they bring him up and ask him, you know, what's your name, where are you from? And when they find out, you know, he's a servant of the Lord, they all want to know, what did you do? What did you do that God is so mad? And he tells them. He tells them what God wanted him to do, and he didn't want to do it. But Jonah is still determined to flee from the presence of God. And he tells the man in the ship, throw me overboard, the storm will stop. Because it's my fault it's here, and I know that if you cast me overboard, and Jonah's still, I mean, he's thinking, you know, I just want to get away from God because I don't want to do what God wants me to do. But you know what? No matter the directions that we try to take as God's people, God knows the path, and God's not going to let you go. You and I have to surrender to whatever God wants in our life. And you know the rest of that account, Jonah spends 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Understand is, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. The fact you and I can continue to pour out our hearts to the Lord when it's overwhelmed is because God knows. God knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how I feel, and he knows the remedy for it. Sometimes we see endless cycles of overwhelming pain, and God sees our experience differently. He sees a path. Where does a path lead? It depends on what direction you go. If we go in God's direction, it will always lead to victory. It'll always lead to God. Again, Jonah went the opposite direction and found himself more troubled. But you know what? Just going in God's direction is not enough. Because Jonah was given a second chance, he went to Nineveh, but it was not with a right heart, because after he spent 3 days traveling through Nineveh, preaching, "Thus saith the Lord, destruction's coming, the wrath of God is coming." Jonah goes and sits on a hillside and waits for the destruction. He waits for the destruction of Nineveh, but it never came because of God's grace, because of the repentance of the people. And Jonah was not happy. It's not enough that we know what to do. It has to be done out of a pure heart that is surrendered to the Lord, trusting the Lord, and wanting God's will to be done. You know what? I can pour out my heart to the Lord and walk away and still be upset, and I've done nothing good. I've not given God a chance to do anything on my behalf. David shows us, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me." The Lord knows. The Lord knows the snares the devil has laid for each of us in our life. We don't. We don't know all the snares. I know what, you know, the snares of yesterday. I even know the snares of this morning. Always trying to get us to have a bad attitude on Sunday. Always trying to get us, you know, off focus, you know, not focused on the Lord. But the Lord knows, and the Lord has a path that He wants us to travel with Him. So we can continue to pray because God hears us and God knows and He cares. Look at verse 4. Actually, if you even look at the second half of verse 3 and to verse 4. "In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Again, not everybody cares what happens to you and me. Sometimes even loved ones that say they love you don't even care. But God does. You realize, I mean, just go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, you already know the account of Hannah. Listen, even her husband didn't truly understand. When you look at verse number 6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he, Elkanah, her husband, did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? He didn't quite understand her grief. He didn't understand why she wasn't eating and drinking, why she wasn't happy with the portion that he would give her. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Again, for time's sake, you go on, look at verse 10. "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Listen, let me just say this. It's not always the fact that we're facing opposition that we're overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed because you truly want someone to be saved? You truly want someone to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They keep rejecting it, keep rejecting it. That will overwhelm you. If you have a loved one that you want to do right, if you have a child, an adult child, you want to do what's right, go and look at Job. He prayed for his older children. There's things in our life, again, it may not be opposition, but it's things that, you know what, are near and dear to our heart. It's things that affect us. It's things that could overwhelm us because we want so much for it to change for the better, and yet it's out of our control. It was out of Hannah's control. It was out of Job's control. It was out of David's control. It was out of Peter's control, Paul's control. All throughout Scripture, those that were trying to do right, trying to follow the Lord, things would happen out of their control. All they could do was pray. Pray to the very one they knew would hear their cries, the very one who would know where they were at, where he wanted to take them, because he cared for them. Look, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. He's the very one that truly we need to take all our cares to. He's the very one that we need to stay close to. He's the very one that we need to trust and be sensitive to his voice. And we need to continue pouring out our heart to the Lord. But what if it doesn't change? What if the circumstance doesn't change? What if Hannah still would not have had children? Because sometimes it doesn't change. I'm no dummy. Sometimes it doesn't change. Even with all the faith, I know God can. And it still doesn't change. There's certain things I've been praying for years, and it still hasn't changed. It's discouraging. It is discouraging. And either my wife or the Holy Spirit reminds me, in some way, God's still in control. It's up to the Lord. I can still cry out to the Lord knowing his will be done. But I need to surrender to his will. I need to be submissive to his will. And I need to continue believing that he does hear me. He does know where I'm at. He does know how I feel. And he cares deeply about me as he does care deeply about you. In verse 5, he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Again, back in verse number 4, he said, refuge failed him. And the refuge that failed him was among men. No man cares for my soul. But then in verse 5, he says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Because God never fails. If I were to give you a piece of paper tonight and say, I want you to write down every time God's failed you. If we wrote anything down, we'd be a liar. Because God's never failed. And we would probably write some things down, or maybe not write things down, but we'd have something in our mind going, well, he failed me here. No, he never fails. We think he's failed us, but truly we have failed him time and time again. But he's never failed. Because he promised that he would give us that peace that passes all understanding. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. The hymn writer Joseph Scriven wrote these words, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We continue to pour out our heart to the Lord. You know what it means to pour out your heart to the Lord? It means everything that's bothering you, you tell the Lord and you leave it at the throne of grace. You leave it at the feet of Jesus. That's what Hannah did. And the Bible says she walked away being sad no more. Her spirit was lifted. You think about David. David, the only person that he could encourage himself in was God when all his men wanted to kill him. You ever been in that position where everybody around you was not happy with you? And they said they weren't happy and even said, you might be better off not here. I mean, I can only imagine the things that David's own men were saying to him, and the Bible records that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Like, no one here is going to help me. And I don't know how he did it. Have you ever been in that place where you just cried out, Lord, help? I know sometimes you want to be spiritual and have an hour-long, you know, prayer, and oh, I thank you, oh God. There's times where all you can do is, Lord, help me. And it's faith in those words, Lord, help me, that encourages us, that helps us to be reminded, I'm crying out to the one who hears me. Other people may not hear me, but I know my God hears me, and I know that he cares for me. But sometimes we carry that extra weight because we often forfeit the peace that God wants to give us. Let's continue to cry out to the Lord and cast our cares upon his feet and pour out our heart, not allowing any weight to keep us from moving forward in our life with the Lord. When you look at verse number 6, God's timing is always perfect. It's always perfect because it's according to his timetable. Our timetable's a little different. We want things at a certain time. I've come to realize before I read verse 6 that life does not revolve around my schedule. Life does not revolve around what I want or how I want things. It always gets disrupted. In verse 6, he says, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Attend unto my cry. David's asking for the Lord to help him. He's crying out to the one that he knows hears him and sees him and knows the path that he should take. Because who anointed David to be king? I know Samuel physically did it, but God's the one that anointed him. God's spirit left Saul and came upon David to be the king. God chose David, and David is crying out to the very one that knows the path he needs to take, because God is the one that has established that path, but God's timing is perfect. When David was anointed as a young boy to be the next king, when Samuel came, he got Jesse, he got his sons. They sat down, they were going to have a meal, but Samuel said, "We're not going to eat, basically, until God shows me which one is the next king." And he goes through all seven sons, and God said, "Nope, nope, 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 nope." Samuel's like, "Jesse, you got any more sons? Because I'm supposed to anoint someone to be king, and God says no to all seven of these." The youngest, he's out in the field. Have you ever felt like you were left out? You were discarded, you weren't really thought of? That's how David was. David was faithful to attend to his father's sheep, but his father didn't even think enough to call him to the sacrifice and to the meal to be with Samuel. But Samuel said, "Go get him. We're not sitting down until I see him." God's the one that chose David. You would think, okay, you know what? Tomorrow he's going to be sitting on the throne. But it wasn't the next day. It was years. Saul was king for 40 years. And a good portion of that, David ran for his life. Because God had to teach him some lessons. God had to still teach him how to rely upon him and trust him. He had already gone through some lessons. How many of us in here have ever faced a bear or a lion? Well, I have. At the zoo. It was behind glass. I wasn't scared. But think about David facing a bear and a lion in the wilderness. No glass, no protection, just him, his slingshot, and God. But God still wanted to teach him more lessons. God still wanted to strengthen David's resolve to always cry out to him. Never to get to a position where we think, "I don't need to cry out to God. I can handle it." We can't handle life. We definitely need God on our side. God's timing is perfect, and we have to be resolved in our hearts. You know what? I'm going to cry out to the Lord. I'm going to cast my cares upon him, pour out my heart, and I know in his perfect timing, it will all work out for the best, for my good and his glory. When you look at verse 7, everything God does is obviously to change us more into the image of Christ. Notice what David says in verse 7, bring my soul out of prison. Nowhere in here does David say, bring me out of this cave. He says, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David said, deliver my soul, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Do you remember how you responded to the last trial that God allowed in your life? Maybe a financial trial, maybe a health trial, maybe a relationship trial. Many trials we face in life. Do you remember the last trial and how you, what your attitude was when you were going through it? God wants us to be able to praise His name regardless of the trial. Because it's really not about the trial, it's about our relationship with God. It's always been about our relationship with God. God's the one that has reconciled us unto Himself. He's the one that left His throne of glory to come down to this earth to die for our sins, to reconcile us unto Him. When you look at Romans chapter 8, look at Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 28 to start with. Very familiar verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You skip down to verse number 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You realize nothing can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing that happens in our life can separate us from His love. But you know what can separate us from His love? Our own doing. Us not crying out to the Lord. Us not trusting the Lord. Us not pouring out our heart to the Lord. Us not following the Lord's will for our life. Us not trusting the Lord. Because if I don't fully trust the Lord, if I don't fully cry out to the Lord, I'm left with my own thoughts. I'm left with the negativeness that I'm already struggling with. David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Listen, it's a real relationship. My children have got to get their own relationship with God. My little ones, they're kind of riding on mine and mama's coattails with our faith. But at some point, they have to get their own. And you understand that. Every person has to have their own personal relationship where they fully trust the Lord. I'm talking beyond salvation. If you already did that, you already put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're born again, you're saved, you got a place in heaven. But beyond that, we have to continue pouring our heart out to the Lord, fully trusting Him, fully relying upon Him, and waiting upon Him to act on our behalf. And while we're waiting on Him to act on our behalf, we're letting Him change us from the inside out. I hate taking tests. That's why I was so excited on the night I walked across that stage, got my, well, they didn't give you the high school diploma. They gave you an empty book because they wanted you to turn in your cap and gown. Then they gave you your diploma. That was so wicked of them. I wanted to keep my hat. Anyway, I was so glad to walk across there signifying I had finished high school. No more tests. I despise taking tests. I still don't like taking tests. But in some ways, I have realized the teacher knows what tests I need to retake. The teacher knows what test I need to retake. Most people don't, in fact, I don't think anybody knows this other than my wife, but I had to repeat, of all grades in school, I had to repeat second grade. Can you believe that? I thought I was a good kid, but they held me back a year for whatever reason. They just wanted to be cruel to children. But you know what? I had some learning issues, and it helped to remain a second year and to go through it. Sometimes we don't like retaking tests, but God knows. If we continue, I mean, again, there's so many tests in life. And if you let God speak to your heart, you'll know the tests that you keep failing, that He keeps bringing to you, that He wants you to finally pass that test by trusting Him, trusting the lessons He's taught you, and give those answers in the test. Don't rely upon your own understanding. Isn't that Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Every area of our life, we have got to let God guide us according to His will. May not always like it. We don't always like what God does, but we can at least admit He knows what's best. I may not like it, but He knows what's best. And it's best for us to submit to the Lord and to continue crying out to Him when we need to, when we need His help. And believing that, you know what, He will help me get through this. He will help me change. He will do His will in my life. And I want to glorify Him with my life. I want to finish my race like Paul and say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've done exactly what God's asked me to do. That's the most important thing. I don't always do what people want. Sometimes I do, and it still bites me. I still get stabbed in the back. Just life. But if our focus is on God, then you know what? When we feel burdened down, we know, Lord, I can't deal with it, and You've given me the privilege of casting it on You because You care about me. It's a wonderful thing, this relationship. But every single one of us has to continue working on our relationship with the Lord and having a resolve in our heart, I'm not going to let anything get between me and my Savior because I want His power on my life. I want to stay sensitive to His voice. I want to be like Paul, who was so sensitive to the Spirit of God that when Paul desired to go into Asia Minor, the Holy Spirit forbid him. Nope, can't go in. What? God doesn't want me to go in there and give them the gospel? Yes, but not at that time. God had somewhere else. I mean, He was so sensitive that it was not an argument. Is it the devil? Is it God? We know the voice of God. We absolutely know the voice of God. And we just have to stop turning a deaf ear to the voice of God and turn face to God and say, Lord, I'm casting all my care on you. I'm letting you work in my life. I'm letting you develop more of Christ in my life so that you are glorified.